Let us pray. Great God, may your words speak through the air, if necessary, so that we might hear you. May people hear through what I say today, or in spite of what I say today, your words and your meaning. Amen. I have another story from the Downtown East Side for you. I was working at First United Church, and one Sunday, a Sikh congregation from Surrey had said they would bring a whole hot meal to the church around lunchtime for anyone who wanted it. We often had sandwiches, but this day we were going to have a whole hot feast. And they had set it all up in the dining hall, and they were working while we worshiped. And as soon as worship was over, everyone was invited to the feast. And there were signs, and we had said things. And I was standing at the front of the church, and we were singing a hymn when I saw a skinny young woman with scraggly hair standing at the back. And she had long sleeves, even though it was warm, probably to cover track marks. And I could tell by how she moved that she was an addict. The communion elements were set on a small table at the back of the sanctuary, a jug of juice, a plate with bread, and those icky rice crack cakes, you know, covered with a fine linen cloth. And as I watched, she quickly flipped up the corner of the linen cloth, and then she saw me watching. And she grabbed a rice cake and ran for the door. Later, I sent someone else to the cupboard for more rice cakes, and we carried on. But I've often remembered her, this tall, scrawny girl with the matted hair that had once been blonde and her limbs so shaky. And I remember the look in her eyes as she saw me looking, at first scared, then triumphant. She had the prize, a rice cake, a dry, crumbling rice cake. And as far as she was concerned, she was getting away with something. And she thought there was nothing I could do. And of course, I didn't do anything. But I've often thought that if I had more presence of mind, I should have called out to her, "Stay. Don't you realize there's a whole feast waiting for you? You don't have to steal it." Or perhaps I should just have called out, "Take the bread, make it worthwhile." But I didn't. I was so surprised, for one thing, and for another, I didn't want someone else to chase her or to frighten her. When Jesus came to chat with a woman by the well, he took a chance that might enrich her, but also could enrich him. In his culture, men did not speak to women alone unless they were trying for something else. And in Jesus' culture, Jews didn't speak to Samaritans at all. As the video pointed out, they certainly did not share any of the same dishes, any cups, any plates. A feast of relationships was possible that was prohibited by tradition and prejudice. So people walked past one another at best, or sniggered and insulted or assaulted at worst. Jesus could have just kept quiet and not broken the rules, but he was thirsty. The man who says, "I will give you water so you never thirst," was himself thirsty. And I have to ask what he was thirsty for. Because we often interpret the story just about what the woman needs or the disciples need. And that somehow Jesus fulfilled this, that it was a one-way street. But what does Jesus want here? He seems to want, just reading the story, pretty simple things. A drink. Someone to talk to. Someone to help him. Someone to have a conversation that goes beyond the asking for water. Some kind of genuine connection and conversation. Jesus thirsts. And by this conversation, Jesus thirst for water, for relationship, and for conversation, all of those are met. She's the one with the water jar. And if you read this again, you find that this conversation is both simple and profound. Jesus basically says it doesn't matter where you worship and who you are, because these people are not that different. He also makes a claim to be the Messiah. And in Palestine at that time, all sorts of people claimed to be the Messiah. He wasn't the only one making that claim. And yet this woman, who is smart enough to engage the whole conversation and appears to be smart enough to be wary and to answer him back in theological terms, yet she believes him. And her life is changed by that simple act of conversation with someone she's not supposed to talk to. And so is the life and the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. This conversation becomes one of the building blocks of his ministry, that discipleship is for both men and women, that discipleship is available to everyone, not just Jews. It is not just available to the self-righteous or the righteous. And both of them are enriched by this simple conversation. Both have their needs met and their thirst met. One simple, not too righteous, woman by the well, and one traveling healer who doesn't even have a bucket with which to draw water. And as I was thinking about this story, that image kept coming to me of that young woman standing by the communion elements and snatching a dry rice cake. And I've often thought of her and prayed for her. There was a feast waiting, both Western and Indian food. The scents of cooking were marvelous. There were people bringing rice pudding and some people trying to figure out Western-style dishes and why we would want them. The feast was waiting, and she settled for a rice cake. Not only that, she was pleased with herself. She got away with it, and she could stick out her tongue at the rich church lady watching her. And I have so often wondered also how I choose the food that does not satisfy and the drink that does not quench our longing. And how often have we thought we had won somehow by making that poor choice? This case was so obvious and so blatantly a bad choice that it's very easy to use it as an illustration. But there are other people who have made bad choices. In her life, probably there were many. But we have our own bad choices because we all make them. We probably can think of a time we chose the metaphorical rice cake over the feast and didn't realize it even until later. And some of us may be able to think of a choice we keep on making that results in a dry rice cake and not the feast. And some of us are in the midst of making a decision and we're wondering. It's a busy time in our schedules to think of these things. So I ask you to think, to take this time, because you have time, not long. What is it you long for with a great and awesome longing? And where in your lives are you faced with the decision between the rice cake and the feast? And then think of just a few words, one or two or three, for what you would ask God for. And if you wish, write them on that little drop of water that you were given. Yoko spent some time cutting out those lovely little drops of water. Don't sign them. Just write those few words. And in a moment, maybe we'll ask Mary to just tinkle away for a moment on the piano. And in a moment, I'll invite you to come forward and drop them in the bowl, the universe bowl that's here, right at the foot of the stairs, or at the top of the stairs.